Okay, looking at John, and it's a passage following the sequence that we've been following over the last few weeks. And what I want to do today is look at this passage, and in the passage we're looking at the links at John and Jesus. What I'm going to do is use a number of scriptures to sort of back that up as we're going through to see the special relationship between to Jesus and John the Baptist. And hopefully that will be encouraging to each one of us. Also, we had a meeting earlier in the week, and can we just go down a bit, Dave? Richard gave out some information about the new fellowship groups, and one of the things that he put into that was a section on the idea of a culture of honour. And I have to say, I'd already set out what my talk was going to be about, but this is what amazing about God is, that in a sense, what I'm talking about today is the idea how we can encourage and bless and strengthen other people, and in a sense that culture of honour, and that's what is a part of the essence within the new groups that we're going to be in. Are we okay, Dave? Perhaps needs to come down just a little bit more because I've got a bit of a big voice, unfortunately. Okay. Right, we're just going to go through this passage first of all. So this is John chapter 3, verses 22 onwards. Then Jesus and his disciples left Jerusalem and went into the Judean countryside. Jesus spent some time with there baptizing people. At this time, John the Baptist was baptizing at Aon near Salem because there was plenty of water there and people kept coming to him for baptism. This was before John was thrown into prison. I have to say, I questioned that bit and I go, why you put that in? Sounds kind of obvious, isn't it, that he isn't in prison, he's actually baptizing people. And I thought about it afterwards and I thought, it's kind of obvious. And actually, a lot of the things that we read are obvious. And we just need to take note of them. Dave, you have to come down a little bit more. I know I'm going slightly deaf, but I can hear it more than I can hear myself. Okay, verse 25. A debate broke out between John's disciples and a certain Jew over ceremonial cleansing. So John's disciples came to him and said, Rabbi, the man you met on the other side of the Jordan River, the one you identified as the Messiah, is also baptizing people. And everyone is going to him instead of coming to us. John replied, no one can receive anything unless God gives it from heaven. You yourselves know how plainly I told you, I am not the Messiah. I am only here to prepare the way for him. It is the bridegroom who marries the bride, and the best man is simply glad to stand with him and hear the vows. Therefore, I am filled with joy at his success. He must become greater and greater, and I must become less and less. He has come from above and is greater than anyone else. We are of the earth and we speak of earthly things, but he has come from heaven and is greater than anyone else. He testifies about what he has seen and heard, but how few people believe what he tells them. Anyone who accepts his testimony can confirm that God is true, for he is sent by God. He speaks God's words, for God gives him the Spirit without limit. The Father loves his Son and has put everything into his hands. And anyone who believes in God's Son has eternal life. And anyone who doesn't obey the Son will never experience eternal life, but remains under God's judgment. John had an amazing relationship with Jesus. And I just want to pull that out as we go through some scriptures. And it wasn't like other relationships. Other relationships we read in the Bible and that we have are amazingly strong. But actually, John's relationship with Jesus was unbelievably special. They both had a mission, and they both had this special spiritual link. And this draws it out as we look at this passage. And the passage is about the where Mary, when she's pregnant, travelled to meet Elizabeth and Zechariah. Let me just read the passage. A few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived. She entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. At the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leapt within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, "God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy." That's an amazing story, an amazing story that as Mary came into the house, that John sensed the presence of the Messiah, sensed the presence of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit came upon them. That's an amazing relationship even before they're born. You can begin to understand how that there was a special relationship between them. It was so amazing that it actually affected people in the region. And people who heard the stories of Elizabeth and Zechariah and how eventually they were having a baby and how Zechariah had been struck dumb. We read this passage. Everyone who heard about it reflected on these events and asked, "What will this child turn out to be? For the hand of the Lord was surely upon him in a special way." Even they recognized it from afar, as it were, just the things that were happening. John knew he had a mission. He knew that he had a job to do and that he was actually preparing himself to do that job. And he had to wait for the right time. And when the right time came, he knew what he had to do, that he had to go to a place so that he would be able to be different, that he would be able to call people to repentance, that he would draw people to the Messiah. That was his job. He knew that that was going to happen. He was preparing himself because he was preparing other people for Jesus coming, that there would be a new time, a new place. That was what he was supposed to do. Now, this next slide, this might be slightly amazing, but I'll just show you, okay? I found a picture of John the Baptist. Now, isn't that incredible? If you're amazed at that, you'll be amazed a bit later on. I found a picture of Jesus as well. Isn't it amazing that you can find these things? What's the point of showing a picture? Well, the point is that actually helps to tell the story. And the story, it says, in those days, John the Baptist came to the Judean wilderness and began preaching. He was there to actually be a prophet. He was there and he was very different. He stood out not only by the way he looked, by the way he commanded, the way he preached, the way he was. He made the difference. And the picture, I hope, just helps you to sort of put that into context. He drew the crowds. People wanted to come and hear this weird person out in the wilderness. They wanted to come and listen to him. They wanted to come and hear what his message was. What was his message? His message was, repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. I have to think about the context of that. They have been waiting as a nation for the Messiah forever, in a sense. And he's saying, it's near. It's near. This was a new word. This was something different. He was preparing people for Jesus, the Messiah, and his coming. As they heard the message, they responded. They wanted to respond to this exciting message. This weird man out in the wilderness was preaching a message of something different, that actually the Messiah that they've heard so much about, he was coming. He spoke to them plainly. He spoke to them openly. And their response is that they were going to be baptized in the River Jordan. He was making a difference in these people's lives. The passage says, I baptize with water those who repent of their sins and turn to God. But someone is coming soon who is greater than I am, so much greater that I'm not worthy even to be his slave or carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. He was preaching in such a way that he was stirring. They had already had their lives changed and challenged by being baptized. And he was saying, I'm baptizing you in water. But when Jesus, the Messiah, comes, it's going to be amazing, because when he baptizes you, it's going to be even more amazing. It's going to be very different when he baptizes. John brought people to repentance. He was telling them about the new life that they had heard about, been taught about, been preached about for years and years. But it was here. It was a life that they could respond to, a life that through God's grace they could find. And as they responded and was baptized, they began to find a new life in God. A new life of service, a new life of actually dedicating themselves and their hearts and their minds. Being open to the new message that Jesus was coming. Be amazed. That's Jesus. Isn't that incredible? Thank you, Lord, for the internet. No, sorry, that's not the point. It's good to have a picture, though, isn't it? It's good to have a picture in your mind. I have to say, when I have a picture sometimes, I've got two pictures that I have when I'm praying sometimes, and they help me. And pictures are important to us. One of us, the pictures, is actually quite a graphic picture of Jesus on the cross. And actually, that he's bothered about me, which when you think about the situation of hanging on a cross, there's other things on his mind, isn't there? But actually, he's interested in me. He's interested in you. And the other picture I have, and when I'm praying, is that a picture of Jesus walking next to me along the road. We need these pictures, don't we? Because God wants us to know how close he is. So you'll forgive me for using a picture that I found. Then Jesus went from Galilee to Jordan, the Jordan River, to be baptized by John. But John tried to talk him out of it. I am the one who needs to be baptized by you. So why are you coming to me? He already knew that Jesus was great. He was the Messiah. Why on the earth would he come to John? He was the prophet. He was the foreteller. He was the preparer. But Jesus said to him, it should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires. Jesus took the lead from Jesus. He responded to what he was told. He responded in the way he was asked. And he baptized Jesus. Must have been an amazing thing for John, really, in his ministry, for this person that he's been foretelling about to actually come to him to be baptized. I have to say, this picture sort of really touches me. And it's the picture. And how do you make a picture of the Holy Spirit coming down? That just, to me, just seems quite a good picture. This is Jesus and the Holy Spirit touching him. After his baptism, as Jesus came out of the water, the heavens were opened and he saw the Spirit of God descending on him like a dove and settling on him. And the voice from heaven said, "This is my dearly loved Son who brings me great joy." What an amazing picture. This is what John was doing. John was actually pronouncing the Messiah, and in this act, actually preparing him, starting his ministry, Jesus's ministry. I don't think John had actually worked that out. I don't think he worked out that he was actually going to launch it. He knew he was there to prepare his ministry. He knew he was actually preparing for the coming Messiah, for Jesus being there, but he hadn't worked out his role was to actually launch Jesus' ministry, that he was there to encourage him and actually baptize him and actually publicly launch his ministry. John continued on with his ministry, and he continued to draw people, and he continued to challenge people to get close to Jesus. And he was quite outspoken. And he was so outspoken that he got to this passage, and it says, "John also publicly criticized Herod Antipas, the ruler of Galilee, for marrying Herodias, his brother's wife, and for many other wrongs he had done. So Herod put John in prison, adding this sin to his many others." John was still unbelievably outspoken. He didn't stop at the point that Jesus started his ministry, but actually continued to be bold, continued to speak out, continued to make a difference, continued to challenge and to challenge the authorities through being his role as a prophet. Where did that get him? It got him in prison. And when he was in prison, he had this very odd situation that he was hearing different stories and different reports and different situations about what was happening to his disciples and also what was happening to Jesus. And it caused him to have some doubts. And we read that in this passage here. "The disciples of John the Baptist told John about everything Jesus was doing. So John called the two of his disciples and he sent them to the Lord to ask him, 'Are you the Messiah we've been expecting? Or should we keep looking for someone else?' John's two disciples found Jesus and said to him, 'John the Baptist has sent us to ask, are you the Messiah we're expecting? Or should we keep looking for somebody else?' At that very time, Jesus cured many people of their diseases, illnesses, and evil spirits. And he restored sight to many who were blind. He told John's disciples, 'Go back to John and tell him what you have seen and heard. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised to life, and the good news is being preached to the poor. And tell him, God blesses those who do not turn away because of me.'" After John's disciples left, Jesus began talking about him to the crowds. "What kind of man did you go into the wilderness to see? Was he a weak reed, swayed by every breath of wind? Or were you expecting to see a man dressed in expensive clothes? No, people who wear beautiful clothes and live in luxury are found in palaces. Were you looking for a prophet? Yes, he was more than a prophet. John is the man to whom the scriptures refer when they say, "Look, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, and he will prepare the way before you. I tell you, of all you have ever lived, all who have ever lived, none is greater than John. Yet even the least person in the kingdom of God is greater than he is." Jesus was also unbelievably appreciative of all that John had done. He had such an unbelievable respect for John, for that special link that they had together, that he had drawn those people, he'd challenged people, he'd drawn people to the truth, that they were already waiting and listening out to hear Jesus' message. And even when those disciples came from John to Jesus, Jesus was unbelievably gracious. There was no condemnation, there was no putting them down, there was no being offhand. Because John had been so bold and saying, "The Messiah's coming, I've met him." And yet then he had these doubts. And Jesus doesn't in any way put him down. He's so gracious to John and to his disciples. And he wasn't that generous at all times. If you think about some religious leaders and people that came to him, he wasn't generous to them. He was very curt and he was very forthright. But to John and his disciples, because of that special relationship, he encouraged and strengthened and encouraged John. Now, in all good talks, you have a little bit of a break in the middle. And I must admit, when I do my presentations, I say, "Let's have a cup of tea at the middle." Well, we're not having a cup of tea, but we're having a little bit of an interlude, okay? And I want to tell you the story because the clever bit is, hopefully you'll see the link a bit later on. But I'm going to tell you the story about our daughter and son-in-law and their dog. And their dog's called Strider. Now, this dog has some amazing feats. It can run incredibly fast. And if you try to walk it, it'll drag you along quite happily. They actually employ sometimes, when they're away, a dog walker. And the dog walker, who takes lots of dogs out, describes Strider as being the strongest dog that she takes out. Strider can drag her along quite happily, better than any other dog that they've seen. Now, there's some interesting things that I want to tell you about, and I'll show you the links, hopefully, a bit later on. Okay? First thing is, Strider the dog, okay, and here's a picture of him. Strider the dog knew that Naomi was pregnant before she did. Okay? How did that happen? Well, I'll tell you how it happened. Obviously, the dog had sensed that she was pregnant. She didn't know. They hadn't been to the doctors yet. But the dog had started to do different things. One of the things the dog used to do was actually come and sit next to her when she was sitting down. When she was out, the dog, Strider, started to be protective towards Naomi. And they couldn't work out what was happening to the dog. Why was the dog different? What was happening? Because they were unaware that Naomi was pregnant. And it was kind of weird in that sense. But amazing that the dog knew. And the dog had started to protect Naomi in a way that is uncanny. Now, I want to tell you another little story, and another little story is, I'll tell you one story of while she was pregnant, the dog went, because we go down on, if we can, well, I go down, if I can, on a Thursday, Wendy goes down every Thursday to look after our granddaughter, and if we can, we take the dog out. And the deal is, the dog drags you over the bridge with his lead, and then when you get to the other side, you convince the dog to sit down, and eventually he'll sit down, and you let him off the lead, and he just runs like a lunatic across the fields, okay? Now, when Naomi was pregnant, she would let the dog off, and he would run around like a lunatic. But if there was somebody that was either a person who looked that they could be aggressive or another dog that was coming the other way, even though the dog seemed to be miles away, suddenly the dog would race back an unbelievable pace, and he would always be between Naomi and that other object, whether it was a person or a dog. It was uncanny. So this dog had that sense to look after Naomi and the baby. Now I want to talk about Grace, and that is their granddaughter. And I'm hoping that the point about all this will become clear as we go through. I'm going to show you a few photographs, and not because just of my proud grandpa, but obviously that comes into it a little bit. But it's because it is an amazing story. I mean, those things already I find pretty incredible, how the dog's attitude changed because he knew she was pregnant. Okay, and the clever bit, and this is the bit that's going to challenge me and you guys, is I'm going to link that to what I've talked about. Isn't it that's the bit that we hope for at the end? It's okay. And if it doesn't work, well, at least we've seen some good photographs. Okay. This is Strider taking Wendy for a walk, okay? And he's quite happily drags her along, and he's very strong. I've already mentioned that point. The story was when we were living at the other house, and he was a puppy, okay? So not as strong as he is now. The picture is of Wendy and I taking Strider for a walk. Well, Strider was taking us for a walk, and we actually had the lead, and we hooked it on, and it was looped round, and we hooked it on on the other side, so we got a great big loop. Wendy had one side, and I had the other side, and we're walking up the road, holding him, and I'm going, we're not going to be able to look after this dog, he's too strong, he's just, so I'm giving a picture how strong this dog is, okay. This is him just running around like a lunatic. It doesn't look actually too adventurous. What I will explain is that, in fact, this is the sixth picture, because all the other pictures, he was so fast, he wasn't on the picture. Okay? I took it, and I'm going, I look at the camera, and I'm going, no, he's not on that one. So this is the sixth picture, trying to get him running. So you get the idea that he's running around like a lunatic, okay? In the background is Wendy and Grace in the buggy. Okay, now this is going back, the next picture, and I put some little cartoon sort of things in, little sort of statements that give you an idea of the conversations that go on. Okay, so this is when Grace was a baby. And this is actually the first day that Grace has come home. All right? And the dog's actually sitting there. And this is the first time he's met Grace. Okay, and he's just sitting there for the first time. And actually Matt makes the comment, thanks Dave, makes the comment that at some point, son, you know, the dog, you're going to have to obey this little thing in the carry-cot, Grace. So you can almost imagine the dog, because the way he's looking is that it's that questioning look. So let's get this straight. This little person's going to boss me about? Okay. Then we leap on. This is Grace. She's now 18 months old. This is about a month ago. Grace insisted that she wanted to hold the lead. Okay? Now, Matt had done this the day before, and we're going, no. I just imagined the dog dragging Grace round the field, you know, like a little sled. Okay? But actually, the dog is unbelievable. So I put a little comment. Just leave it to me, I'll take the dog a walk. The lead is not stretched in any form. The dog just plods along. He knows Grace is holding the lead, and she just walks behind or next to him. Now I have to say, that's uncanny. Because even now, if I try to take him, put him on the lead, I took him out Thursday, and he's bolting around like an idiot, you know. But when she's holding the lead, he doesn't. Okay, he's even going so slow, you can almost imagine Grace going, oh, come on, you know, we need to get on with it. He's just plodding along, and plodding is not a description you use about the dog, Okay? It's not a description you talk about the dog. And then I can almost imagine Grace saying to you, what do you mean the dog keeps pulling and running off? He doesn't do it for me. And he's just standing there waiting for her to walk. Now, I find that unbelievably uncanny. It's absolutely amazing the way the dog behaves. He doesn't try to race off. He isn't pulling. He isn't doing any of the things that he does with us. It gets even more incredible. He went on a couple of paces too fast, so she lets go of the lead, and the dog doesn't run off. He's going, hang on, better wait. And she's dropped the lead, and the dog's going, oh, come on, hurry up. He doesn't run off. I'm flabbergasted by this. It's amazing what's inbuilt into the dog, that he's waiting and he has understanding that grace is important and that what she does is important. Grandma's got the lead back. Again, it's stretched. Same day. This is all the same day. Okay, these last few photographs. And you can almost hear Grace going, look, Grandma, I've told you to show how to walk the dog, you know. And the dog's just pulling away. He's just doing what he normally does because he knows somebody else is holding the lead. Isn't that weird or amazing? Okay, what's the connection? This is the fun bit, okay? It's natural for the dog's instinct to protect Naomi and Grace and to look after them. That's his job, in effect. Now, I've never seen a dog do that sort of thing before. And we've had dogs in the past, and I find it absolutely gobsmacking. I've never seen it like that. But the dog knows it's part of his makeup that his job is to look after them. His responsibility is to look after Grace. He's not a perfect dog in any shape or form. But there is a natural instinct. This is what he's about. This is what he's supposed to be doing. This is his role. Now, when Matt came home and when we came home and explained to Naomi what the dog had done, and you've seen the photographs, she couldn't believe it. Even after those experiences that she'd had when she was pregnant and how the dog protected her, she still couldn't get her head round the fact that this dog, who's absolutely bonkers when he's running around, would actually behave in that way. But it's an natural instinct for the dog. The Strider knows that his responsibility is to care for Naomi and Grace. And he knows, even though Grace is only 18 months old, she's the boss. That's kind of weird, isn't it? He knows that already, so he knows that when she's holding the lead, he can't run around, he can't drag around the field, whatever she does. And I have to say, it was even funnier that she would be walking along, and at some points, it was a windy day, she stopped, and his ears like flap up. So she's then knocking the ears down and prodding him. He doesn't do anything. He just accepts it. It's unreal. The dog knows his role. The dog knows that Grace is boss. The dog knows that he's there to protect, to promote, to encourage. The dog, Strider, has learnt the change from this little baby. His role is to be under her responsibility. Here's the link. John always knew that his role was to promote Jesus. That's what he was about. That was what his whole role and job in life was. His role was to prepare people, to draw people, to open their hearts, to open their minds to Jesus. In the same way that the dog was looking after Grace and promoting, John was promoting Jesus. That's what his whole life was about. He was there to draw people to Jesus. In fact, one could go as far as saying that he was only really fulfilled as Jesus' ministry began. Because that's what it was all about for him. He was to be the prophet. He was to be the person that prepared people. He was the person that opened people's minds. He was the person to draw people to a new place. Now the disciples, I'm sure they'd been told by John that that was their role, that was what was going to happen. But they were still struggling with that. Because in a sense, in the natural, you can understand their point of view. Well, look at all the work we've done. Yet he's getting all the glory now. Why are everybody going over to him? And John's trying to say, that was our job. That's what we're about. That's the whole point of what we've been doing, is to say, the Messiah, Jesus, has come. And what we're doing is pointing the way. We're the signpost. It's not about us, it's about Jesus. John's ministry was to promote Jesus, to encourage people towards Jesus. That was everything he was doing. He was there to encourage an understanding of who Jesus was, the Messiah that they had been waiting and being preached and taught about for years and years and years. Jesus was the answer and is the answer for us. Jesus was honored by the fact that he had promoted Jesus and it was being fulfilled. What does these things, this story about John and Jesus, teach us? How do we react to people in the sense of what's happening to them? How God's challenging them? How they're encouraging? How do we react? Are we doing the same as John's disciples? Or are we actually being able to be an encouragement, a blessing? Are we thrilled and excited by others and the work that they're doing? It is a challenge to us, isn't it? Because we so easily get into the natural, and the natural's going, well, why is it happening to them and not to me? And in a sense, John's story is saying, well, actually, we need to not only be looking to ourselves to say, what are you telling us, God? But also, we need to be opening ourselves and saying, God, where are you taking us? How can we promote others in their ministry? How can we encourage? How can we be a blessing? How can we be excited when God's blessing them? That we can be proud of them. It's very easy to be saying, why isn't it not happening to me? But actually, we need to be the opposite. We need to be positive. We need to be encouragers. We need to be promoters. We need to be encouragers. We need to have that culture of honor that Richard's talking about and we're going to look at in our fellowship groups. The idea that we encourage, we bless, we pray, we open ourselves to be a blessing to other people. That we are the channel of God. We are the channel of Jesus. That we are the people that actually can promote and encourage. The whole point of John's ministry was to promote Jesus. And of course, it's very easy to be in the natural. And the readings are trying to challenge us to say, yes, but it can be different. As the dog, Strider, knew his role with Grace. The exciting thing is to try and open ourselves. And actually, as we open ourselves, we become more vulnerable. We become open, and we will get knocks. But actually, as we are open to encourage, to see other people flourish, to develop, and it's actually such an amazing thing. And we need to be excited about that. Because as we're excited that somebody else, their ministry is developing, that means God's good news, the news of Jesus, is being heard and told by others. Is God calling you to build somebody up? And the answer is yes. We are there to be encouragers, to be people that can strengthen, to be those people that actually want other people to do well, to succeed, so that they can be all that they need to be in the service of Jesus. And it is amazing. It's exciting, isn't it? It's exciting how Jesus uses us. And if we can promote other people in the way that John and his ministry does, that can be unbelievably exciting as well. I want us just to pray, and it's just three simple sentences, and I'm just going to pray those in a moment. And then afterwards, what I want us to do is just to spend a few moments and I just pray for the person next to us. And all I want us to do is to pray, and you might have some words of encouragement straight off. But don't feel pressured if you haven't. Just pray God's blessing upon them. Pray God's peace on them. And we're going to do that in a moment. But I just want us to pray these few sentences first. Lord, help us to be an encouragement and blessing to others. For me to be all that you, Father God, want me to be. Lord, help me to help others to be all that you, Father God, want them to be. We ask that in your name, Jesus. Amen.